Quiet, please. Quiet, please. Mutual Broadcasting System presents Quiet, Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper and which features Ernest Chappell. Quiet, Please for tonight is called Bikini Tahiti.
Her name used to be the Bethia, but when His Majesty's Navy commissioned her, they changed her name, of course. I remember her very, very well. I remember her as we weighed anchor off St. Helens that wintry afternoon 2 days before Christmas and stood down the channel. I remember her in the howling gales north of the Horn when the wind and the icy rain fair threatened to rip the sails off her. I remember her in the flat calms of the Southern Ocean, too, with the sun starting to tar from her deck seams and 45 men, officers, and able seamen, and cooks, and gardener, and all, panting for breath between the two tropics. And I remember her burning. A broken and looted wreck on the beach far below us, 120 west longitude and latitude 25 south. And I harked back to the dismal December day when the voyage began. If I could have known what lay ahead, I'd have jumped overboard, I would, in that tempestuous sea, and I'd have gone back somehow to our lighterman's life on the River Thames. Never seen Tahiti or Tupuai. Or maybe I wouldn't have. Maybe I'd have stopped aboard anyway, as I did. I'd be here just as I am now. The last man. Arahaiti told me about it, of course. Else how would I know why we came to Tahiti and father? Arahaiti led his wife to me all these long years on this lonely place. It was the women, of course. They'd taken more than a fancy to the English sailors who came to the lovely island with Captain Cook. And they prayed for the white man to come back. They shouldn't have done it. But they prayed to Vahine Tahiti. Vahine Tahiti, the mother goddess, the secret protectress of the women of Tahiti. The goddess who went away from Tahiti and... Well, I'll tell you about that. Vahine Tahiti, woman of Tahiti, that's her name. She has no other name. Then, since she went away, they don't remember her anymore. They've forgotten Vahine Tahiti. And they've forgotten the lovely women who came with us. Maimiti, Tarua, and Parahaiti that was my wife. And, of course, they've forgotten us. Parahaiti told me how the women met and prayed and sang at the hidden marae under the hillside, the temple of volcanic rock the men didn't know about. She told me how they sang in the leafy shadows there and called upon Vahine Tahiti to vouchsafe an answer to their prayers. She told me how Vahine Tahiti did appear and how she did speak to her mortal sisters.
Comfort yourselves, sisters, for the men come in the canoe with the white wind. Theirs is a journey of hardship and suffering, and death is with them. You have prayed me to bring them, I have promised. They will come. Even at this moment, the great canoe spreads its wings and defies the storm as its master looks across the world of the waters to Tahiti.
And sure it was. For I reckoned back the day Vahine Tahiti spoke to the women. And it was the 23rd of December, 1787, 2 days before Christmas. And moreover, she spoke of the other great war canoes that lay at anchor and how they made solemn sounds with their great guns. And I remembered how the other ships did salute us with cannons as the little 90-foot transport stood down the brawling channel away from them. Parahaiti told me how the goddess spoke of the tyranny of the captain to his men. And I remembered, too, what I'd heard with my own two ears, the captain bellowing to Samuel.
I'll see here, Mr. Samuel.
At the issue of the provisions.
I have no complaints from you about the quality of the provisions I've laid in. And I'll have no complaints furthermore from any man of the crew, you hear? For if I do, I'll have the man thrust up in Santa, do you hear, Mr. Samuel? And we'll see the color of his blood under the cap. And that applies to you, Gooser. So give me none of your fool's arguments. Salt horse and weevily biscuits for sailorman's lot, and they'll like it. And so will you, Mr. Samuel, do you hear me, sir?
Wilderness, Salt Horse, and Weevily Biscuit, and what the worms had left of the cheese. Nor did the officers fare much better, except for the captain, who ate alone. I had it from Hall, the cook, that he ate plum pudding and drank brandy with his joint of fair, fresh roast beef. Fresh beef, do you hear? Well, it was many a year ago, and there's never been a roast of beef for me in all that time, for which my mouth watering now, I'd say, alas. And in Tahiti, the sun shone brightly all the day, and many a man wondered what secret the women had amongst them and why they burst into song and laughter 100 times a day. This, of course, we could not know, since only the captain and the master and the master's mate had ever seen the Isle of Tahiti before. No, it was a wondrous long voyage we had in this doughty little cockle shell, not much bigger than a man-o-war's longboat. I mind speaking of it one night to McCoy, the Scotsman from Kirkintilloch, as we stood anchor watch in False Bay off the Cape of Good Hope. I said, McCoy, I've got a good mind to jump ship.
Look, I'd do it myself, Smith. Again, there was a chance of getting ashore without being gobbled up by the sharks.
And I believe if we passed the word, there'd be more than us to try the beach.
I thought I would boggle at nothing at all in the way of food, man. But I've had nothing to eat since the morn, except a bite of biscuit and a sup of greenish water.
You're starving.
Aye, starving every man jack aboard. No officers, even.
McCoy, step up here with a bit.
Eh? What's that fruit?
Don't talk so loud.
Oh, he's asleep.
Well, the master's on the quarterdeck. Don't speak easy.
Honey, well, you're the one that wanted to speak.
And so I will.
Eh?
Mac, have you heard the talk?
I've heard nothing but talk as long as I've been aboard this hooker.
You have?
Aye.
What kind of talk?
Oh, did you ever a British seaman go on a voyage without grumbling, though he had plumbed duff 3 times a day?
Yeah, this is past the mere grumbling stage. So I hear.
Oh, do you know?
Have you heard aught?
Aye. I have.
And?
I don't like it, Smith.
Do you like being starved in and beaten? Being at the mercy of that brute of a man aft?
The captain, you mean? Hark you, Smith. I've served time under more than a few captains of His Majesty's Navy. I thought I'd met some rare, hard men. But this one, oh, this one's a devil straight from hell. And one day...
Well, one day?
One day, mayhap, someone will send him back to the place whence he came. Hark.
What did you hear?
I thought I heard someone laugh.
Nobody on deck. Except Mr. Fryer back in the quarterdeck.
No, Smith, it wasn't Fryer.
Oh, well, then who?
Smith. I could have sworn it was a woman laughing. Out there in the black darkness beyond.
And on the island of Tahiti at that very moment, for it was 5 months almost to the day after we'd set sail from the Isle of Wight, the women of Tahiti gathered at the hidden marae, listened as Vahine Tahiti laughed and set the echoes laughing in the darkness of the forest glade.
Comfort yourselves, my pretty ones, my anxious ones. You have asked, and Vahine Tahiti grants your prayers. They come, but it's a far journey and a long one. Vahine Tahiti will tell you when to deck yourselves with flowers and go down to the beach to meet them.
Great Vahine. Why do you laugh? Great Vahine, have we offended?
Who speaks?
It is I, Great Vahine. I, Para Haiti.
No, you have not offended, Para Haiti.
Then why do you laugh, Vahine Tahiti?
Oh, it is my humor to laugh, my daughter, at the shortcomings of those who serve me, even as all who hold power have some secret scorn for their servants.
Have we transgressed, then, O Vahine, in asking for this favor?
No, not transgressed, Para Haiti, not transgressed.
What then, Vahine?
You are bold, Para Haiti. For those who are over-bold, I have certain special favors. Take care, Para Haiti.
I serve the great Vahine Tahiti. You have promised. You will not withhold.
I will not withhold. No, I will not withhold.
But you laughed.
I laughed, my daughter, as I looked across the oceans to see the men who come to you. I laughed as I heard them plotting against their leader and foretelling his death.
You promised us, great Philemon.
And I will fulfill my promise. But remember, there is no gift without payment.
We will pay, great Philemon.
Yes, you will pay. You will pay with exile and weeping. And you and the men who come to you in the great war canoe with white wings will die in a far unknown place. With your own hands shall you slay them.
This, Parahaiti told me long years after the prophecy had come to pass. She told me how she fell on her knees and implored the goddess to spare them. She told how, after a long silence, the goddess laughed again at them and gave her word that one at least of the women would be spared to live forever. She would not tell that woman's name, so that they all glanced at each other secretly, hoping that each one, she herself, would be the one. The fate of certain white men was also set and sealed with the seal of Ahini Tahiti. And far away at the Cape of Good Hope, a little 90-foot vessel weighed anchor again and stood out to sea on a course set for the South Seas. And on the 20th of August, 1788, a cold, early spring day, we dropped anchor in Adventure Bay in Van Diemen's Land. And we were a lean and tattered crew. The captain had driven us hard, had flogged us, starved us, and held us to our course through storm and calm under the whiplash of his voice for 9 long months. But I remember another night after we'd put out from Adventure Bay on the last leg of our voyage to Tahiti. How McCoy and I stood again at the wheel with only the tiny lights in the binnacle flickering before us. Whispered together again.
He's no man, Smith, a beast. He deserves to die like a beast.
I'll take care, Max.
Aye, I'll take care. But I tell you, Smith, when we get to Tahiti...
What'll you do?
Oh, I'm gonna jump ship, man.
He'll hang you.
If he catches me. And perhaps he won't catch me.
Perhaps.
Perhaps he'll be lying aft in his bunk with a clasp knife in his throat.
Max.
I'll say no more about it. But there's more than one aboard the ship that had furnished the clasp knife, and not a few that had used it, too.
The mate.
Oh. What's the course, men?
East Bernay, sir.
Keep us over for another half hour.
Aye, sir.
By night?
Aye, what is that, sir? Sir?
Well, McCoy?
This is Tahiti now, sir. You've been there?
Yes. It's a paradise, McCoy.
Are the women beautiful, sir?
Eh? Oh, the most beautiful in the whole world, Smith.
And do they have plenty to eat, sir?
Unlike us, they do, McCoy.
Aye, so. And there'd be hills and jungles, too, sir?
Oh, yes.
And where a man might never be found if the native people was to, take a liking to him?
Well, they're very friendly people, McCoy. A man who jumped ship might be able to elude capture.
Oh, I didn't say anything about jumping ship, sir.
But it isn't a good idea to murder the captain of one of His Majesty's ships.
Sir?
I was just thinking aloud, McCoy.
Sir, McCoy didn't mean that. He was just thinking.
I don't know what you're talking about, Smith. Here, you men hungry.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
It isn't much,
but... Sir... You've never starved.
Haven't I? Well, just be careful, men.
Well, sir, it's 7 bells.
Strike it.
Aye, aye, sir.
And remember, you'd never see England again.
Scotland, sir. Kirk and Tillich, hard by Glasgow.
I'm from Cumberland myself. I wonder if ever I'll see Mail and Clear again.
Then through the warm tropic seas again, night after in the starry night, with the Southern Cross over the port quarter. And day after blazing day on the northeasterly course for the Society Islands and the Isle of Tahiti. Short rations and a hint of scurvy amongst us. and the wicked hiss of the cat-o'-nine-tails of the gangway. The sobbing cries of a British seaman flogged. They're asking you to be fed like a man, not as a pig. And one day a cloud on the far horizon, and we knew our long voyage was nearly over. Tahiti at last, with the peak of Orohina towering high in the distance, a lush greenness wherever the eye passed. And we dropped anchor in Matavai Harbor, Tahiti Nui, after a voyage of more than 27,000 miles in almost 2 years. And as we've been told, it was a fair island. And the women were beautiful. Let me pass over the labors we performed at Tahiti, bringing aboard the breadfruit trees we'd set out for to fetch them to the West Indies. Let me pass over the indignities we suffered at the captain's hands and at the hands of his one loyal aide, the Clark Samuel. The downright thievery of the two of them, taking from us the gifts of food we'd received from our friends on the island, the appropriation of the pearls and the carved woods they three-handedly gave us. And McCoy did jump ship and was caught. He got 3 dozen lashes for it. And I had met Parahaiti. And at last the night came when I must say farewell.
But, Smith, you are to stay.
Well, I'll come back one day, Parahaiti. There's nothing to do now but go.
No.
If I stay, I'll be found as McCoy was found. He could flog me, take me away anyway.
No.
I will come back, Parahaiti. I'll come back.
Do you love me, Smith?
I love you, Parahaiti, more than I thought I could love mortal woman.
Stay.
I dare not.
She promised you would stay.
Who promised?
Oh, Vaini, Tahiti. What have you done to your children? Vaini, Tahiti, you have lied to us and deceived us. You have denied us, Vaini, Tahiti. Oh, great Vaini, we hold you to your promise. Give us our men! The men from beyond!
Then there was a great clap of thunder, then there was a clear star in the sky. I heard the sound of a distant voice speaking in a strange language. And again the voice of Parahaiti as she turned to me in the starlit darkness and spoke again.
Go. Go, my husband. And come back to me. Vaini Tahiti has promised.
And below me, the shouts of the men calling to me to hurry lest I miss the last boat to the homeward bound ship. There were a few aboard who thought that now we'd set our course for England, the captain would be in a merrier mood. He was not. He kept the charts locked up. He alone could navigate us to England, half a world away. We thought our life was a hell on the outward voyage. I say to you, that was a pleasant, lightsome, gay excursion compared to what we suffered when we headed away from Tahiti. I am not describe it lest I turn your stomach. And Vaini Tahiti laughed again from the heights of Orohina. And in the early morning twilight, she spoke to her daughters again.
Be at peace, my little ones. I have tested your faith, and you have believed. And now the fulfillment. For the men of the white-winged canoes arise now, and they turn their weapons against the one who would take them away from you.
And on the ship, I awoke to the sound of voices shouting, and I ran on deck. The captain stood beside the mainmast, and his hands were tied. He was at last a frightened man. And before him stood the master's mate, and behind him the men of the crew, armed and murderous. I heard the captain's voice again.
Mr. Christian, what is the meaning of this folly?
This is mutiny, Captain Bligh. I am in command of the Bounty.
I heard Captain Bligh plead for his life.
Mr. Christian, let us compose our difficulties. Do not murder me, Mr. Christian!
And I heard Fletcher Christian answer him sternly.
Captain Bligh, you've forfeited your life 1,000 times over.
And I saw at last the ship's launch hoisted over the side. I saw Captain Bligh board it with certain men who had neither the honor nor the hardihood to follow the leadership of Fletcher Christian. And what became of Captain Bligh and the others who departed with him, I know not. For we never saw him again.
cannot remain here, men. For Bligh, if he does reach England, will set all his Majesty's Navy about our ears. If it takes until the end of time, they'll never give us up till we've all swung from a yardarm in a British port.
And so at long last, the promise of Vahine Tahiti was fulfilled. She had towed us from our native lands to the Isle of Tahiti Nui. And now the women who had won us as their prizes set sail with us, never to see their own island again as long as they lived. 9 men from the Bounty, 6 men from Tahiti for 9 women of Tahiti. And we sailed away to Pitcairn's Island. For a time we prospered, and the memory of the Vahine's price for her favor had almost faded. The 15 men, 9 women, a fatal number. Love, jealousy, hatred, murder. First the Tahitian men, then one by one the Bounty's men. Fletcher Christian, the master's mate. Mills, the gunner's mate. Gentle William Dunn, the gardener, who had never before sailed the seas. McCoy and Quintal and Williams and Martin, the able seamen. I alone was left of the Bounty's crew. And at last, Pada Haiti told me of the Vahine's prophecy. How we should all come to death at the hands of the ones in Tahiti. How all the women, too, should die, save one. And I listened in silence, for I was alone with only the few women, the few children on Pitcairn's Island.
And so the prophecy is nearly fulfilled, Smith, as I have told you. Says that we know not who is the one of the women to live forever, as Vahine Tahiti promised.
And as she spoke and fell silent, I saw a change come over this woman, this Pada Haiti, my wife. I saw her transfigured, terrible, on the edge of the cliffs, high above the burned wreckage of the Bounty. I heard her speak again, and in a new voice.
Farewell, Englishmen. The bargain is set.
Now I take the body of Pada Haiti for my own, and she shall live forever and watch with my eyes over the sons and the daughters of those I brought to wed with my own.
The title of tonight's Quiet Please story was Vahine Tahiti. It was written and directed by Willis Cooper. And Alexander Smith, the man who spoke to you, was Ernest Chappell. And J. Pat O'Malley played McCoy, Roy Irving was Fletcher Christian, and Charles Penman was Captain Bligh. Pada Haiti was Sherita Bauer, and Vahine Tahiti was Harriet Priestley. Music for Quiet Please is played by Albert Berman. Now for a word about next week, here is our writer-director, Willis Cooper.
Characters in tonight's story really lived, as you well know. The events in the story might have happened, or they might not. Alexander Smith actually was the last survivor of the Bounty, but he told many conflicting stories of what had actually happened. Next week, a Quiet Please story called As Long As I Live.
And so, until next week at the same time, I am quietly yours, Ernest Chappell. This program was heard in Canada through the facilities of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.